I thought for a minute the rapture had happened and my wife had ascended, but she's in the back. Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you. My name is Pastor Jim. I get to serve Jesus here with you, and that's a joy to be called to this place to help you see where God's at work in your lives, and He always is, and how He can use all of us, even you, to bring about amazing works of grace in the lives of the people around us. That's a great calling to have. So let's go to Scripture this morning. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. One of these parables is in Matthew as well, and one of them is exclusive to Luke. But I invite you to stand with me in body and spirit and heart and mind, however you can show reverence for this word which God gives to us through that ancient writer known as Dr. Luke. Hear these words. The tax collectors and the sinners. Oh my. Tax collectors and sinners were gathering all around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the other 99 in the open country and go after the sheep that he was lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's be seated, friends. Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit to understand these words and apply them to our lives. And God, allow me to decrease. There is much I'd like to say in this time, but do away with my thoughts. Let it be your word and your word only that's spoken in this time. It's your time, God. Use it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you from an old classic. I'm getting older, so I got to take my glasses off to read. "At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge," said the gentleman, taking up the pen, "it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and the destitute, who suffer greatly at this present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir." "Are there no prisons?" asked Scrooge. "Plenty of prisons," said the gentleman, laying down the pen again. "And the union workhouses?" demanded Scrooge. "Are they still in operation?" "They are still," returned the gentleman. "I wish I could say they were not." "The treadmill and the poor law are still in full vigor, then?" said Scrooge. "Both very busy, sir." "Oh, I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course," said Scrooge. "I am very glad to hear it." "Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude," returned the gentleman, "a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We choose this time because it is a time of all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for? Nothing, Scrooge replied. You wish to be anonymous? I wish to be left alone, said Scrooge. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my wish. I do not make myself merry at Christmas. I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough. And those who are badly off must go there. Many can't go there. Many would rather die. Then let them die. If they'd rather die, then they should do it and decrease the surplus population. Powerful words from a writer known as Charles Dickens in that immortal classic, A Christmas Carol. And yet, I got a new microphone, sorry, it's pinching my ear. And yet, those words are as fresh today as they were when Charles Dickens wrote them, just as Luke's words, and because Luke was writing the words of Jesus, Jesus' words are as fresh today as they were when they were written all those years ago. As the Pharisees and teachers of the law were gathering, they did not understand these stories as we understand them today. We have taken them and added 2,000 years of Jesus' tradition onto them so that we understand what Jesus is saying. Yes, we should reach out to those in need, the poor, the needy, those in want, those who don't know Jesus Christ. But let's strip away that and think of people who are sitting around this strange teacher telling them that they need to go and seek and save the lost and wondering, why on earth would I do that? See, I've already got my stuff together. I already got my fill of things, so why do I need to go and look for somebody else and help them out? I support the poor. You know, I throw in my portion to the offering whenever I go to the temple. I do all the things that I'm supposed to do as a good religious person. Why would I want to help out someone who doesn't deserve to be saved? Why would I want to help someone like that? See, that 100th sheep that has wandered off, maybe he deserves to be lost. Maybe he doesn't have his life all together like I have my life all together. Maybe he's wandered off into areas of life that are what I would call sinful. Maybe he's allowed the things of the world that decent people don't go there. Maybe he's allowed those things to get into his life. Maybe he's allowed those areas of wickedness and evil to infiltrate his soul. And so he doesn't deserve what I deserve. I live a good life. I help people. I deserve the grace of Jesus Christ, not like them. So the parable that Jesus tells throws them into a state of confusion. Why would a shepherd who has 99 sheep to keep safe leave them behind and go and find the lost one? And we have added so much to that story. We like to think, well, maybe he didn't abandon the 99 sheep. He left them with somebody else to watch them. He left the 99 good sheep to go and find this lost one. And when he finds the lost sheep and brings it back, it's a celebration. This sheep was dead and he's not anymore. He's alive because I found him and brought him. No wolves are going to get him. None of the dangers that are out there in the world. I've saved him. I brought him back to the 99. And then Jesus tells another tale of a woman who has plenty of money. 10 coins. You know, I reach in my pocket here. All right. Oh, That's the usual case for a pastor. Okay, here we go. Hey! I've got all the money in this car that I need, but somewhere in this church, I misplaced a silver coin. Somewhere in this church, I misplaced a silver coin. Can you help me find it? Is it under your pew? Is it somewhere around? Is it in the cushions of the pew? Some of you people aren't looking very hard to help me find my coin. And there's the point. There's the point. You see, some of us, and by some I mean all. You know, I mean all of us. We are certainly not doing our part in looking and finding and seeking out the lost. In fact, we'd rather they say good day and be on their way rather than seek out the lost. A Christian doesn't need an engraved invitation to serve others. You hear me? A Christian doesn't need an engraved invitation to serve others. We follow one who says, I'm leaving the 99 behind to go and find the lost. I'm tearing apart my house, even though I have the 9 coins safely in my pocket, to find the lost coin. It must be found. And when I find that lost coin, I'm going to spend more money on throwing a celebration because I found the lost coin than all the other coins that I had put together. It's a ridiculous idea. This idea that one would celebrate the finding of this minuscule thing almost at the cost of the other. I'm going to leave those 99 behind. I've got to find the one. I'm going to spend that other 9 when I find the missing one. I'm going to tear my whole house apart. If you've ever seen the movie Citizen Kane, there's a scene where Orson Welles just destroys the whole room, flips over the tables and chairs and is just tearing the place apart. That's what this woman looks like as she is frantically searching. There's got to be that coin here somewhere. I have to find it. That is the attitude that Jesus has as he seeks out the lost. That is the attitude that Jesus had when he looked for you and for me. And the celebration that took place was so great that the angels in heaven rejoiced. Do you know the angels in heaven rejoiced because Jesus found you? The angels in heaven who saw the formation of the stars and the skies and the earth and all of these good things, they're more excited that you found that you were saved, that Jesus found you, than all of that. Singing glory to God in the highest. That's the big picture. Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to our level right now. Because there are those in our culture who are lost. There are those in our culture who are lost, who in our minds today would say, if they'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Let them die. Let them die. That person who is just a sinner, who doesn't care for their own body, who in fact has self-destructive tendencies in their lives that lead them to do things that bring harm to their physical, spiritual, emotional being, they deserve it. They deserve to be in the state they're in. And if they die because of their actions, well, that's their problem, not mine. That's their problem and not mine because I got my stuff together. They don't. What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? No, what's wrong with us? That's our attitude. That's got to change. We can't live as Christian people with that kind of attitude. Our Lord won't allow us to do it. We should be uncomfortable. We should be uncomfortable that those thoughts allow themselves to creep into our souls. If they'd rather die, then let them die. decrease the population of people who are addicted to drugs. They die. It's one less druggie. Someone who gets sucked into patterns of sexual misbehavior. They get a disease. They deserve it. If it kills them, that's what they get. Do we want that to be our attitude as followers of Jesus Christ? Or do we speak into that and say, that is someone who Jesus would give up everything for, and seek them out and find them? That is someone of sacred worth who God deeply loves. Many of us have looked into the eyes of someone who has lost someone in their life because of patterns of behavior that were destructive. In fact, I don't think I can say many. I think all of us have looked into the eyes of someone who has lost someone because of the patterns of self-destructive behavior in their lives. In fact, maybe I'm looking right now into the eyes of someone who has lost someone because of the patterns of self-destructive behavior in their lives. That person is worth more than 99 other sheep to God. That person is worth more than the other 9 coins in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And for us to say they deserved it, let them die and decrease the surplus population, it's sinful. It's sinful. And our Lord calls us to a higher standard. In fact, so that we rejoice when that one who was lost was found. Jesus told one more story in the midst of these stories of a son who was the worst of sinners, who told his father, basically, I hope you die. I'd rather you did so I could have the inheritance that's due to me. So the father gave him his inheritance and he ran off and he blew it all. Blew it all in an extravagant, obscene living. And when that son came back at the end of himself, the father didn't say, ha ha ha, I knew you'd be back. Before the son could even reach the edge of the property, the father was there saying, come, come, I'm so glad you're here, and welcoming them. And then there's another son involved in that situation who says, I wish he'd have died and decreased the surplus population. He deserved whatever he got. And I'm offended that you've sought him out and brought him back into this family. The father says, this brother of yours was dead, and now he's alive. Come celebrate. Celebrate, because when we find that which is lost, we know that the angels in heaven celebrate with us and rejoice. Because what was lost has been found. Victory in Jesus. God loves you. And so do I. Stand with me. Let's sing together. Victory. Victory.